UFC 314 was bleeping awesome in Miami, and the coverage was excellent of it as well. I enjoyed the commentary from Chael Sonnen, and he's kind enough to join us right now. Chael, appreciate the time as always. Thanks so much for doing this, and how you been?
How have I been? I'm still famous, and I'm still rich. I mean, every day is kind of a good day, not for nothing.
I absolutely love that. Paddy Pimblett, you know, there's times I watch him, I can't stand him, and then a moment like what happened up against Michael Chandler, who I like, it makes me gain a lot of respect towards him because people keep on doubting him and he keeps on proving people wrong. I think his image has really changed the last 2 years since the Flash Gordon fight, which I still thought he shouldn't have won. But what's your view now of Paddy Pimblett? Because I'm starting to become a fan.
First off, you and I share a brain. Like everything that you just said right there, I have said or thought. So let me just tell you my personal experience. I thought Paddy was in a little over his head. When he comes out and he not only beats Chandler, but he beats Chandler at his own game. He gets on top and he pounds out Michael Chandler. There's a real wow moment. And there's even a time to tell a guy, hey, I had this one wrong. Well, Paddy happens to come up where I'm at. He gives me a hug. He's very gracious. You never know how a guy's going to treat you when you've been on the calling against him all week. But I did think he was a little overmatched. He couldn't have been more of a gentleman, which is not what I thought. He had a very sweet tone. The first thing he does is he checks in and wants to ask me how my family's doing. Wow. Like he's limping to set. He's the fighter of the night. They are chanting his name, and I don't know him. We meet, and he wants to know, how's your family doing? I mean, I will just tell you, you look at a guy differently when a guy does something like that. And he was hurt, by the way, Zach. I mean, he was limping. His face was busted up. That was an absolute bludgeoning both ways. And Paddy the Batty, because you meet some guys that are bullies, they can only give it. Paddy gave it as well as he took it.
Absolutely. At his apex, because I still think people are trying to figure out what he could be as a fighter. And as we said, Saturday, it moves the pendulum in a big way, and now people are wondering how big this could get. At his absolute best, what do you think Paddy Pimblett could go on to accomplish in the UFC?
Interesting, right? Because like the comparison out there is Conor McGregor. Can Paddy be a box office draw like Conor? And that's hard to imagine. Conor transcended cultures. He went into movies, and people followed him over to movies. That's a very rare and hard thing to do. But the UFC only plays certain venues. I mean, Paddy's going to have a shot at MSG the same as Conor did. Conor sold out MSG, but I'm telling you now, so will Paddy. So then you start to just have box office draw. Who could move more T-shirts? I mean, what kind of staples are we going to put in place to start judging these two? But yes, Paddy the Batty is a bona fide star. He is a box office draw. Dana White could book him and sell out any arena in the world, and there's probably only five guys in history you could say that about.
And we know he's always had the entertainment factor. You go into a Paddy Pimblett fight, the entertainment factor's there, but now it's nice to see the entertainment factor being met with what goes on in the octagon.
Yeah, and hey, well said. Again, that's the thing we didn't know. I thought this was a regional kid. He's got a weird haircut. He says something funny to the microphone. He can sell some tickets kind of around England. He's not a main eventer, but you do things right, and you can make a few dollars with him. That's not true. This is a legitimate title contender. We don't know what Paddy's going to do next or who his next opponent will be, but there is a consensus that whatever is next for Paddy, he's one away from a world title shot. Whatever Paddy does next, if it goes his way, he will be fighting for the belt. And I can't sit here right now, Zach, and assure you that he's not going to win that damn belt.
Chael Sonnen here with us right now on the Zach Gelb Show. I'm never good in terms of, like, what's next? Like, this guy wins. Who should he fight next? When I heard the names that were getting thrown out there, Gaethje was one that was resonated with me. What's the name that maybe resonates with you the most for the next Paddy fight?
All right, so he calls Dustin Justin, meaning Gaethje and Poirier. He calls Charles for Oliveira, and he called a guy a helmet, which is an insult I had to look up, and it's rather funny, frankly, called Sarukian. Now, I only want to list that because if any one of those guys wants to fight, all they got to do is go to Twitter right now. If any one of them accepts, whoever the first to accept that fight, Dana White will give him the fight, but I'm going to tell you now, none of those guys are going to accept. Like, Paddy is still in that spot that's very dangerous, where he's a big mouth and he's a sportsman, but the crowd hasn't quite accepted him for the badass that the fighters are now finding out he really is. I mean, I will guarantee none of those four guys that got called out are going to respond. And You know, what do you do with Patty next? Again, the one thing that we can agree on is whatever's next will lead him into a world title fight. But I'm not willing to rule out who he calls Mr. Hand Sanitizer, Ilya Topuria. Something is going on with Ilya. You would assume an undefeated world champion would fight for a world championship, but they haven't made that announcement. And they've held that announcement for something. I'm starting to hear behind the scenes, they were waiting for the outcome of Patty Chandler. And now that that's happened, let's see what happens with Ilya Topuria.
By the way, I always appreciate, it doesn't matter who you're sitting next to, and it doesn't matter what platform you're on, you're always willing to stir the pot a little bit. You sitting next to Dustin Poirier and say that, hey, it could be Poirier up against Max Holloway for the final fight of Poirier. A lot has been speculated off of that. What do you actually know about the likelihood of that being Dustin's final fight?
Zach, I didn't know I was leaking inside information. Like, I'm a guy you can tell things to. I know what's secret, what hasn't been revealed. No one told me that was a secret. So I go out and I tell the world, man, it's going down in Lafayette. It's going to be Dustin's last fight. It's Max Holloway. The only thing I don't know is if they're going to put up the BMF belt. Dustin comes and grabs me, tells me that he got in trouble by the UFC because they assumed that he fed me that information and then I went and leaked it. Those conversations never happened. I don't know where I got that news along the way. I'll stand by it. I'm right. All those things are happening. I'll even add to that claim. They're going to put the BMF up. It'll be Dustin's last fight. There's a chance that Dustin takes the BMF into retirement, which would retire the BMF. But as far as any of that information ever actually being told to me, nah, I guess it wasn't. I read it somewhere. I believed it to be true. But it turns out it is. It's all true.
So you heard from Dustin. They thought Dustin was leaking that information as you were sitting next to him, maybe like in a break or something. Does Dana give you a call and says, hey, what the heck are you doing, Chael Sonnen?
No, it wasn't to me. I mean, I got it fair play. They went to Dustin and they go, hey, what are you doing? Your partner just leaked all your scoop. Are you going to think we didn't know where that came from? I've known this for a couple of months, though. And I thought that Max had called him out. I thought that Dustin had accepted while he was working the desk at ESPN. Like, I feel like this whole story played out before us. I thought everyone knew. I thought a venue was booked and tickets were on sale. Like, I just found out that at this point is still protected information.
Wow, that's epic. Chael Sonnen here with us.
I mean, what am I supposed to do? Like, I'm not blabbing it to you. I already blabbed it. I didn't know it was a secret.
I love it. Diego Lopez and Volkanovski, what a fight that was. That was a brawl. It was epic. And man, really a big moment for the sport too, because some people, it felt like, and I'm a very casual UFC fan, I love it, I've become a big fan the last few years, but it seems like a lot of people that used to sell me on the UFC were kind of doubting the product. I thought the card was awesome at a great final fight.
I would not kick a man when he's down, like, and I'm talking about Diego Lopez. I would offer a hand and get him up. But to discuss that, just what I saw Diego Lopez, who is the world's next best thing. He is the rightful number one contender. But I saw him bring a left and a right hand, pure Western boxing he brought into a mixed martial arts fight. I can count the amount of takedowns he tried in 25 minutes on one hand, because the answer is zero. I can count the submission attempts he tried in 25 minutes on one hand, because it's zero. He didn't grab the fence. He didn't even kick him in the nuts. He didn't throw one elbow, one knee. He threw three kicks. He made it a Western boxing fight for reasons that I don't know. He's a very skilled young man. And when he goes back and watches it himself, he's going to be frustrated. And he's going to say, why didn't I bring my tools? Why didn't I bring the agreed upon rules that they allow me to use? And I don't know why he did it. And he got picked apart because of it.
I'm Jewish, so I think it goes without being said. I love what John Silva did to Bryce Mitchell. What was your reaction on that fight, by the way?
Bro, I love that you're not afraid to talk about it, because everyone, this was the elephant in the room on Saturday. Bryce made a big mistake. So we decided, like, as a group, we're going to punish him, and here's the punishment. But the one thing that we all also understood is Bryce gets the jump on Silva. It's in many ways going to vindicate a horrible moment. So there is this massive tension in the room. It might have been the most important sporting event that was going on anywhere in the world. This script had one way it could go, and it had to go the way that it did. And I will just tell you, there was some nerve-wracking points. I mean, Bryce comes out. First off, it turns out Bryce is pretty tough, but then his kickboxing looked pretty good. Silva stayed very composed, kept a game face, even as his leg was taking some shots. ultimately Silva beats Mitchell at his own game, which is the ultimate punishment by our industry standards. So the world is in the place that the world should be in. But I will tell you, there was a tension in that building, my friend.
What kind of tension do you mean, just wondering? It's pretty simple. Like, if you're justifying Hitler, which is what Bryce Mitchell did, you know, I'll clean it up here. You're a jackass. That's the nicest way I could say it on the radio. What kind of tension do you mean?
Period. No, period. That's what it was. Well, so you've got a tension of people going, okay, if I cheer for Bryce, and I want to cheer for Bryce because I've chosen to believe he didn't have evil in his heart, he's a dumb hill jack. That's what some people have believed. But if I cheer for him, I could still give the perception that I'm with him, and I'm not. So it was just one of these things where things got weird. He made some apologies. Some of them were pretty heartfelt. I'll just share with you. So some people wanted to give him a benefit of a doubt. But either way, you could not openly be seen in front of people on your feet clapping as he comes out. You just can't. It was the ultimate villain role. This had to happen, and it had to happen with the knight in shining armor who happened to be called John Silva, had got to make him pay, and the world didn't know how to discuss it. Like people, you're being as candid as anybody's been on this.
He's Nobody an a-hole. I think. The guy's an a-hole, right? Like, it's not a mistake. He said what he said. There's no justifying it. The guy's a jerk.
And you got to pay. When you do things like that, there's some kind of punishment. We as a group selected this was it, and I'm just saying there was a worry that perhaps we had the wrong guy. Perhaps Bryce could get over, and that really would have created a very socially awkward moment.
It would have, and it was the best ending possible that Silva just basically ended him, and it looked like he didn't want to stop. Anyway, Chael, appreciate the time as always.
Silva might have been the second performance of the night, only behind Patty. Silva really stood out. Hey,
yeah.
Zach, thank you. I appreciate the time. By the way, before you go, real quick, there's a joke going around. What is 6 feet tall, charming, and disappears in an instant?
Me? Oh, Chael Sonnen. That's how he ended the interview. That guy is awesome. Now, let's be real. I'm 6'4". I am charming, but I won't disappear. Well, he may disappear in about 30 seconds, and then we'll come back in 5 minutes. But that's a good job by Chael Sonnen. I thought his connection just went out, if I'm being honest there. And I'm like, oh, he jumped off the show.
When he said, I got a joke for you, I was like, uh-oh, where's the dump button?
Yeah, well, how Warren Sapp left the show compared to Chael Sonnen leaving the show. I like what Chael did right there. That was awesome. We could have had him on for another 15 minutes. I didn't even get to the stuff about Michael Chandler as well and the aftermath and how we deal with Chandler. Great stuff for Chael Sonnen. It is the Zach Gelb Show, Infinity Sports Network.